Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Hebrews, and we're in chapter 6. We trust you'll have your Bible open. Stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Now notice, two types of things come from the earth. One is a positive, herbs, and the other is thorns. When I think of the word thorns, don't you think of the four soils and, you know, one fell among thorns? Maybe you became one of the persons who love the things of the world. That's thorns. Maybe you're one of those thorns. Well, I go to church and I'm a good person and, you know, I live with my girlfriend and I act like a lost person. I don't worry about my language and I don't worry about living a virtuous life like we sang about this morning in Faith of Our Fathers. Maybe I'm that guy, but I tell myself I'm good. Well, he says, when the rain comes upon the earth, that's similar to when the Holy Spirit comes upon a heart. And know this, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are dynamically connected. You know how we know that? Because in Colossians and Ephesians, the same verbiage is used for the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody in your hearts, giving thanks always and all that. Well, it says in Colossians, it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, singing and making melody in your hearts. They're dynamically connected. So he's given them five chapters, and he's thinking, I'm persuaded you're saved because I've seen your life. Why are we persuaded? Because we have a reason to be. You know, it's not the power of positive thinking we're up against here. It's not that. You know, you got Joel Osteen, who's so completely blasphemous that he writes a book, The Power of I Am, the very covenant name of God. He turns it into a phrase to saying, I'm good, I'm strong, I'm capable. And he's taking the word I am, using it on a book cover, making people who know Jesus think, wow, I am, the power of I am. Yeah, he's the creator, sustainer, upholder of everything. And he tramples all over it like those diamonds are his little marbles to play with. We're living in a crazy time where people just take license to do whatever they want. And that's true in the pulpit as well as in the pew many times. People think they're good, but they're not. And how can you discern? He's given them five chapters. The question really becomes, after you've heard the word, what do you do with it, right? Isn't that what happens? I mean, you heard the word. Am I going to change? Am I going to adjust? Am I going to believe that? That's the question. And he says, if the rain comes upon you, the refreshment of the Spirit comes on you, and you bring forth herbs meant for them by whom it is dressed, they receive blessing from God. Do you bring forth herbs? That's kind of a question to ask at this point. Because he's suggesting that, yeah, they probably will. These people will adjust. It may not be as quick as everybody would have liked it to be. You would like you to change more quickly, wouldn't you? I know I would, me. But the reality is when the word comes, does it meet its mark? Does it find that it is God who is cultivating you and it is God who put something in you? Because the other alternative is not to be preferred, it says, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. Now, guys, listen, it's very important for you to understand that when you're looking at him talking about briars and herbs, he's really making a point that he knows how God works. You see, earlier in chapter 4, where the Bible says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, you remember that? Many times people like that because they like to think about it as being a convicting element, and it is a convicting element. But the fact is what it says in that passage in verse 12 of chapter 4, it says, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, it's very important for you to understand. God brings the Word of God to you and to me so that he will demonstrate to us and to the world what's in there. Okay? When he says that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, this is in a context of a group of Israelites who came out of Egypt and would not go into the Promised Land. And so they wandered around for 40 years and died until the younger generation could come up and take their place and take the Promised Land. He says, don't be like them. He says, because they had what? A heart of disbelief. And the Word of God comes and it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. Down in verse 16, the Bible says in chapter 4, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Another verse we like, in isolation. But what he's saying is that you have begun to doubt Jesus. You have begun to doubt that he really is your high priest, and you need to come to his throne and get some mercy, because that's kind of bad. You're not trusting Jesus right now. You're actually beginning to give a bad testimony. Your kids are beginning to look at you and say, what do you really, really believe? And you're equivocating. You're kind of going back and forth. Your testimony is not backing up what you're saying or what you used to say. And he says, you need to come back to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Isn't that powerful? I mean, when you take these verses that we take in isolation, oh, come boldly, that's a call to prayer. No, it's a call to get right with God. You need to say, hey, oops, sorry, I didn't mean to embarrass the kingdom. I didn't mean to besmirch my king. I didn't mean to disrespect the whole program of Almighty God by saying Jesus is not the high priest, he is not the king, he's not the sustainer, he's not better than the angels, he's not better than Moses, he's not. Because the only thing they had before Jesus was Moses, the angels, Abraham, Levi. They were getting ready to trade it all back in. You see how powerful it is to put those verses? Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. What's he doing? He's discerning the intents. Why? Because that big word, intents, is there was a reason that those people would not go into the promised land. And the reason was because they doubted God. Even though they had seen the pillar of fire and the cloud, even though they saw the Red Sea part, even though they saw the 10 plagues come, even though, they said, they're too big, we're like grasshoppers. You see, they didn't really believe. That was what their problem was. Beware, he says, lest any of you fall by their same example of unbelief. So for me, dancing around in the book of Hebrews is always a delight because I always discover more things. Hopefully my discoveries are helpful for you. But understand this, God knows what moves you and me. He knows why you do what you do. He knows what it is that you are holding on to or unwilling to let go of. He knows what it is that will make you to have what? True rest. He wants you to have rest, but you can't have rest if you refuse. The Bible talks about that in that whole first section. He says, be careful lest the things you've learned slip. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be preached unto us by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him with signs and wonders and miracles. He says, how can you escape? You think you can... Why is he saying that? He's chastening a little bit. Isn't he? He's chastening them. Why? Because they've kind of stepped over a line. I find it interesting when I see certain people use things like God's name in vain. But, you know, this is a thing. We're living in a day where I've actually known of preachers having Bible studies and they'd swear in the midst of their 4 or 5 men because it's cool to swear and I'm good to swear and I'm cool like you or something. I don't know what they're doing. But they're swearing. And you know what happened with that particular situation that it comes to mind specifically because I've heard it elsewhere as well. But this particular one that's coming to my mind at the time is that it came from that to the next thing. And that was, well, I know a guy. He's one of the best Christians I know. He and his husband are more Christian and more spiritual. It's a local church here in our area. Preachers that believe that the couple that is married as two men, the guy's one of the most spiritual guys he knows. You see what that is? Is that's profane. That is a blasphemous gesture. I remember years ago, a man went to a theater who was a minister, and the guy was up on the stage, and he said, heaven, and he pointed down. And the guy got up indignant, and he walked out. He said he did blaspheme with his gesture. And you see it, don't you? You see it when somebody blasphemes with their gesture, and that's what these people were doing. They were getting ready to leave Jesus. There was an answer. But they didn't have it yet, so hey, you know, God, you're not going to give me the answer. This is like the media in our day, right? Tucker Carlson this week, give me the facts, give me the facts. Oh, you must not have any or you'd give them to me. Who are you? You know? Let's do this decently in order. Everybody else is doing it haphazard and slipshod. Let us not be of the same fabric. Because the only thing we have left in this nation right now is decently and in order. If we do not have the courts, we're done. And we don't know if we have them yet, do we? So we need to lay out our plan very, very deliberately, and it's not time to throw it out there for the rest of the press to vilify. And I can't believe Tucker didn't know that, except that I agree that he's in a network of wolves And he's been doing a good job up until this point. But that was a big faux pas as far as I'm concerned. But I say to you that back in chapter 6, he says that that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. And why is he saying that? Because there is a divine tension in the things of Christ, isn't there? You know, sometimes you're wondering, am I or am I not a Christian? I mean, there's that question. You ought to have that question, especially early on. I know many people who go back in their Christian life and they made a decision when they're 4, 5, 6 years old. They thought they were a Christian, but when they hit their teens, they felt like, man, I need to reassess what I understood then, because what do you know when you're 5 or 6? And so they go back and they drill a stake in the ground and say, here it is, Lord, I'm asking you to save me. And that's a good idea. In this generation, if they did get to church when they were little, did make a decision when they were little, they might be 40 years old when they realize how fast the hyperspace of this nasty world has taken them before they woke up and said, you know what, am I even saved or not? And the only reason they're thinking, listen, the only reason they're thinking, am I saved or not at age 40 is because God is in there. That's a good sign. Run to Jesus. Your Father will take you, put a ring on your finger, shoes on your feet, robe around you, and kill the fatted calf. He loves, loves, loves His children, but He will not countenance their misbehavior. I've had the opportunity to watch this new movie called In His Image. And just when you go watch it, if you watch it, it's free. It's online. Just go inhisimage.com. It's fine. But it's more to the church than it is to the lost people, first of all. And I don't want to applaud somebody who countenanced the behavior that was so odious. So my biggest misgiving is a mom who still let that person not have any immediate consequences, so they went ahead and went through with all the nonsense. And I'm just saying it's crazy, crazy, crazy to look at the Scriptures and see what God did. He let the prodigal go, and when he came to himself, he went home. We cannot be complicit in our kids' sin. So I say to you, if you bear thorns when you hear the Word of God, that's telling, isn't it? Some people say, well, he won't tell me now. I'm going to push back hard. I'm going to say, well, if I can't have what I want, I'm going to dive back into the mud puddle. We've all done that. I remember one time when I was first right with the Lord in my teens that I had quit smoking. I was 17 years old and I was working at a gas station up by the Bob Evans on Trimble. The BP, it was so high back then. And I got stuck in the snow, and I was so mad because I had to walk. Why should I have to walk, you know, snow? I got stuck. I'm a Ohio boy. I'm not supposed to get stuck. So I tromped all the way. I went and grabbed a pack of cigarettes, ripped it open, had me a smoke because, you know, I was mad. What a silly gesture, right? And yet that's what we do. We do it in other ways. You can fill in your blanks. What do you run to when you get angry and miffed? I say to you, this is not the bearing of thorns, but it could be if you can stay there. You know, the Bible says in verse 9, but we are persuaded of better things of you. He's not talking about the first part of that where he says herbs. He's saying we're persuaded better things of you than thorns. We know you're not a person who's going to react and bristle when I bring you the word. It's good to know. I tell you, this is a generation of kings. Everybody's critiquing every preacher and every jot and tittle. And you get up here and it's like you put yourself out there and you say what the Word of God says. And they're saying, well, I don't agree. Well, that's all right. I'm sure you'll find a church down the street that doesn't agree. And you can go be disagreeable with them. Because the Word of God's pretty clear. We need God's Word because it's all we've got. And we need it. And God knew that. He says, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.